Thank you, Bishus Marina Rakshita. Well, when you look at the words Shelo Asani, it simply conjures up the Berchas HaShachar we say in the mornings. We say Shelo Asani Goy, some say Nochri, Shelo Asani Oved, Shelo Asani Isha. Although our talk today is going to widen more into the Shelo Asani Isha than to the other ones. Shelo Asani Goy, the Jews are called Goy 60 times in Tanakh, but we still use the word. Nochri means a foreigner. Stechemet says, best to say Shelo Asani Goy kegoye ha'arotzos, like we say in Olenu. Shelo Asani Isha is an issue which the anti-sexists like to quote, saying how discriminatory this is, but they don't seem to understand what we're actually saying when we say Shelo Asani Isha. The traditional reason why we say Shelo Asani Isha is because the man has more mitzvahs to keep than the woman. So we're saying to God, thank you very much, I've got more mitzvahs to keep. But there are a number of Mephoroshim who will say that the woman is on a higher spiritual plane or might reach the same spiritual plane as a man without having to keep as many mitzvahs. This is the Derech of Rav Shimshon Raphael Hirsch. And we know that the Zchus Noshim Sidkonios Nigalu Mimitzrayim. It's because of the righteous women that we came out from Egypt. So the Zechuyos we get is because of the women and not because of the men. So why are we saying Shelo Asani Isha? So according to that view, we can say that Shelo Asani Isha is simply paying thanks to Hashem that we men do not suffer physically as much as the women do in our Avodas Hashem, because they have to go through monthly challenges, they go through the pain of childbirth. None of us men would really want to do what the women do. So Shelo Asani Isha is a way of saying, thank you God that I don't have to endure the same problematic sufferings that the women do in order to fulfill my potential in life. That's the general issues of Shelo Asani, Shelo Asani Oved, Shelo Asani Isha. But the question which I'm putting today is something on a much more wider topic, something which is a very sensitive topic, and that is, we hear nowadays people who are claiming that although they were born men, that they are really women. Or women claiming that they should really be men, and there are the questions of surgery which come up. And this is an issue which has come up so much in recent times, transgender issues, that it would be wrong of us to ignore it. For example, the United States Department of Health allows private Medicare to people who do reassignment surgery, and yet they won't even pay for infertility treatments. The United States has now lifted a ban on transgenders in the military. There's now some special Olympic Games allowing transgenders to compete as the other sex which they were born in without surgery. And just this last Friday, there's an article in the Times, transgender victory on changing passport details. Transgender people will no longer have to provide medical proof to change the sex on their passport. Things seem to be going quite way out of hand. And there are some states in America which are even banning psychologists from striving to restore natural gender feelings. The whole thing seems to be going out of any understanding whatsoever. They're talking about 5-year-olds who wear boys feel like girls and giving them transgender surgery. The world is turning on its head. And a shaila was asked to the Beis Ovi, Rabbi Yitzchok Libus. He died in the year 2000. He was called the Greidinger Rov, and he was asked about the idea of men having operations turning to women and women to men, and he said, "Ein ani rotze lichtov. I don't even want to write on this subject. B'chol nafshi l'odun b'shikot zeh. This is such a grave abomination. It's not my way to start discussing such ridiculous, repugnant subjects." Now, some people who will say, well, you've got to have understanding. There are people who feel this way. There are people who want to change their gender, and they want to say, Shelo Asani Isha, even if they're not shown, even if they're not men at all. If they're women, they want to say Shalosh Ani Yisho. Can you believe this? So what is the issue here? We know from Bereishis, Zochon, Akeva, Borosom, Hashem created male and female. But interestingly, the Shor Sheborah Kodesh Baruch Hu is the Odom Arishon androgynous Boro. The Medrash says that Odom Arishon was an androgynous. And we should really understand what an androgynous is. An androgynous is somebody who is born with features of both male and female. It might be ambiguous, it might be a sophic, but that is what the androgynous is. And so there are a lot of shilas which come up in the poskim about the androgynous. How does the androgynous identify? What mitzvahs does the androgynous keep? Does it keep the mitzvahs of a man or the mitzvahs of a woman? The Rambam in Hilchos Ishus, Perek Beis, Halacha Chof Dalet, talks about the androgynous being in the category of a sophic. We don't really know whether we should treat the androgynous as a man or a woman, so one should go strict. The person will wear tefillin. The person will not shave with a razor. A woman is allowed to shave with a razor. If one is a Kohen, one has a dinim of tumah, not to go near to a mace. And that applies to a man. So we'll go machmir according to the man. But the halacha lemaisa in Eben or Ezer, in Simon Mendalus, if hey, the Ramah says, for halachic purposes, we will regard the androgynous as a male. And one of the main reasons given in the poskim for this is because we don't want this person marrying a male, because then there's a very severe prohibition of mishkav zocha, of homosexuality. So therefore, we will, for intents and purposes, regard this person as a male. Rav Sternberg writes in Sefer Asya that if surgery is done where it's felt that there will be psychological harm to the person to have both features, then if surgery is done, we shall regard this person as a male and just remove any female aspects of this person. That's in Sefer Asya. The Tzitz Eliezer of Waldenberg writes a lot on this subject in Chelet Yud and in Chelet Yud Aleph. He says, you may remove certain features of the person, but again, you will make that person into a boy, not into a girl. But he does discuss if medical advice is to make that person into a female, and before the age of Chiyuvim. But the Tzitz Eliezer seems to be more flexible than any other poskim, and many disagree with him. Rav Eliashiv writes, if a person is made into a girl, that person can't marry at all. The problem is that if it's really a man, you can't marry a man. If it's a woman, you can't marry a woman if the male aspects of that person have been removed, because that person is called a Petsua Dako, Shlo Yavo Bikal Hashem. And quite amazingly, the Ibn Ezra, already a very long time ago, wrote, and he quotes Rabbi Chananel, who is hundreds of years ago, about the idea of surgery and how it is forbidden for a male to marry another person who is really a male, even though that person has female characteristics, and that person might be able to be at the receiving end, so to speak, from the male. That is, he says, Mishkav Zochar. And the general rule of thumb is castration is osam and ataro, it's forbidden on animals as well. And Rabbi Yashiv says that surgery doesn't help at all, except maybe in the case of yichud. So this is a very sensitive subject, and there's a Rav Ephraim Goldberg in Florida who spoke to a certain gedolim about the subject, and he did extensive research on this. And of course, there is the question of the Shalom Sani, what bracha does one say? He even quotes a Sefer Yaskal Avdi, who talks about a woman who had surgery, went into a man, who says the bracha shof chani la'ish, who has turned me into a man. But this is disagreed upon by most others. He recognizes that people can have great psychological difficulties when it comes to this subject. And if people are feeling suicidal, he asked a certain Godel, and this Godel, he didn't say who the name of the Godel was, but the Godel would not answer his question when he asked about the subject of Pikuach Nefesh, because after all, anything which is pikuach nefesh, one is entitled to transgress, except for the three cardinal sins: gilaros, shvichas tomim, and avodah zarah. Although you might argue that there is a question here about gilui aroyos, especially if it might encourage. There's a lifnei iver. He quotes a very well-known toxicologist called Paul McHugh, M-C-H-U-G-H, toxicologist of Johns Hopkins University, who says that surgery doesn't really help such people in any case. He says it is a mental disorder which requires psychological treatment. So, interestingly, Rav Yosef Soloveitchik says that although we do have a recognition of who is a male and who is a female, nevertheless, according to Kabbalah, it's not quite so straightforward. He says spiritually, one might have both characteristics of a male and a female. Well, even biologically, male have some female hormones and female have some male hormones, but we won't go down that route. The Kabbalists say that the characteristic of the Zohar is that he is the Nosein, he is the giver. And the characteristic of the Nekeva, of the female, is that she is the Makabel. And that sometimes those roles can slightly change, even in, like, say, the teacher-pupil relationship, where the teacher is giving, but the teacher might also be receiving because the teacher is learning from the pupils. So the Kaf HaChaim says in Siman Mem Vov, Lamed Beis, that it's possible that a person might have a female soul, a female neshama, inside a male body. But this is really Kabbalah now. We're not talking about halacha lemaisa. But the issue is that a person might be a Gilgul, might be a reincarnation, where he suggests that a person might have been, not necessarily was, but might have been sinning in the aspect of homosexuality in a previous life. So that person might now be reincarnated as a Gilgul, where the person might have female tendencies, even though that person is born a male. And the Sefer Od Yosef Chai actually brings Kabbalah, which says that Tamar was a male neshama. Tamar, who lured Yehuda. So how can that be if Tamar was a male soul to lure Yehuda? And he even goes as far as saying that Yehuda, although he was a male, he had an neshama of a nekeva, and Tamar had an neshama of a zocha, and that was the way they were able to mate together. And remember, their union gave birth to what was eventually the Malchus HaMashiach. So what is it if a woman feels that she is really like a man? Does she have to keep the male mitzvahs? What about the dinim of get? What about bris milah? What about being counted into a minyan? What about the mitzvah of eidus? There are so many shilas which can come up like this. What about zimun when you're benching after a meal? What about kol isha? Indeed, when men go through hormonal treatment to try and pretend that they're becoming a woman, their voice does change. Well, what about Nagiyah? We spoke last month about shaking hands with a member of the opposite sex. What about Dinim of Yichud? What about where one sits in shul? Let's say one may not go through a sex change operation. It's against the din. But what if one does and one then becomes a Baal Teshuva? Where does that person sit in shul? If it's a man dressed up as a woman, or if it's a woman dressed up as a... If it's a man dressed up as a woman, well, can't go into the men's shul. What a distraction. If that person goes into the ladies' shul, well, it's a man. I've got from Tachumin, a Rav Yigal Stern, who says that man should really daven in the ladies' shul. Well, not everybody seems to go along with that. But if it's a woman, yeah, if it's marriage, you know, there's the din of Pitsua Dakor, that a man might have had something removed, and therefore he can't mate with women. But if it's a question of davening in a shul, maybe the person shouldn't daven in either. Neither in the men nor in the women. You can't have a woman dressed up as a man going into the men's shul. That's definitely not okay. So what's happening nowadays is some universities are even going in for gender-neutral toilets. Not men, not for women. And maybe we need a separate section of a shul for such people. I mean, the questions are not really fully asked yet in the poskim, but they are pertinent because there is so much going on nowadays. You might not believe this, but there are 700,000 people in the United States of America who claim to be transgender. And that might be before they've had operations. And therefore, we need to know, what is the halacha on these things? Well, there is a sefer, in fact, called Dor Tahapuchos, where this issue is looked in great detail. The sefer came out about 12 or 13 years ago, and he lists 8 isurim, 8 prohibitions, which would prevent a person from going through gender change operations. Ah, you might say that hormone treatments are okay if a person feels one way rather than the other way. A doctor might prescribe certain treatments which might make a person more, if a boy feels like a girl, then, and he's got all the male simonim, then it may well be legitimate for a doctor to prescribe hormonal treatments to make that boy feel like a boy. The other way around might be more complicated. But to go through surgery, he lists 8 different isurim. He says petsua dako, which is like a castration. 2, there's an issur of wounding generally. 3, lo yibash geva simlas isha. A man may not wear women's clothing and a woman may not wear man's clothing. So that's not just the simple attire aspect of clothing. It could be anything which makes a person behaving as though they are of the opposite gender. For example, some talk about shaving under the armpits as being, it's beged isha for a person to do such a thing. He says it's a chilul Hashem, because the pasuk is talking about you not to do anything against what the riches are of Hashem. Menishmatem odin afshol seichem lifnei velasitzei michshel mishkav zoko lo sechala l'shem elokecho. So we did ask before about what about psychological pain. There is a tshuva which comes before at Moshe Feinstein about somebody who wanted plastic surgery. So a woman is self-conscious about her big nose, so she wants to have it modified. Is that okay? Is that going against the will of Hashem because she was created with a big nose? So Rav Moshe writes that it is allowed for her to engage in plastic surgery. What about the fact that one is putting oneself in a sakana because you're going through a general anesthetic? He says, well, that is something which most of the population accept as not being a sakana, like flying on an aeroplane, and therefore she may go through a general anesthetic. Isn't it called wounding? So he says that's not really wounding because she feels it will enhance her prospects in parnoso, in shidduch, or whatever. So the question is, if a woman is allowed to go through plastic surgery to change her face, why is it not allowed then for somebody to go through surgery to change their gender? Well, that is something a bit far more radical.
Yeah.
Excuse me, I'm just getting over a bad cold. So the Gemara Shabbos in Nun Gimel talks about a woman who died, and she left her son. Her son needed nursing, breastfeeding, and the husband could not afford what's called a wet nurse. So the Gemara there says, and it's pasul dado didin kshnei dade isha, and this man, the father, he developed female features, and he was able to nurse this baby. Amar Rabbi Yosef Borei Kama Godol Adam Zeh Shenasel Neis. How amazing and great is this person that a miracle was done for him. Amale Abaya said, Adarabba, on the contrary, Kama Gerua Adam Zeh Shenishtanu Levset Misidre Bereishis. How despicable this is that this happened. What a shame that it's happened, because it goes against the natural order that Hashem wanted originally, and therefore it's not good. So what do we go by if we're trying to identify a child as to what gender they are? Do we go by the external features, which is the anatomy, or do we go by the chromosomes, which might reveal much more? And this is something which is discussed in the Tzitz Eliezer, Rav Waldenberg, and he says in Halacha we will go by external features, by what we see. And that is what should determine it. What about a female baby who has male chromosomes? And this baby might have baked in which are hidden, which would indicate that's then the androgynous question, which we asked before. So the Tzitz Eliezer says that if you have a female baby but male chromosomes, he seems to indicate that surgery is all right, and there are a number of rabbis who quote him on this. But when I go back to the Tzitz Eliezer directly and see what he writes, because there are some leftists who seem to say, you see, the Tzitz Eliezer gave a carte blanche okay for surgery for transgenders. That is not what he writes. He seems to be talking purely about the androgynous, who is born with both features, and he's not sanctioning any sex change operation. The Sefer Yaskel Avdi, a Rav Ovadia Hedaya, he died in 1969, he says, V'lochein, chas v'cholila, lahatir, lanatcho, lahofcho, lanakevo. It is absolutely forbidden to change one's gender. He talks there about male to female. Shu iso gomor v'chomor. Chayav b'chol mitzvos karnoshim. Such a person has to keep all the mitzvos like a man. K'mosha anoshim asurim basirus. Just as men are forbidden for castration. Hu adin androgynous osu basirus. So the androgynous as well. Because the androgynous, many poskim will treat as a male, or at least as a sophic male, it is not permitted to do any operation which will then transform that person into what might be a female. I mean, everybody will agree that even with these operations nowadays, with all the features that they might do with hormonal treatments, that the man might grow female breasts and might look like a woman, has a voice like a woman, and the woman who changes to a man might become a voice like a man, whatever organs she might be given under surgery, they're not productive organs. And neither way, if the woman hasn't got a uterus, she's not going to be able to give birth. And if a man claims that he's turned into a woman, he, claiming to be she, hasn't got a uterus. But nowadays there's been so much fuss about this recently. Chartered accountants who belong to Stoy Hayward will know that just a few weeks ago there was some talk given at lunchtime by a well-known chartered accountant called Isabella Siegel, a Jewish woman, but sadly, it's not a she. She went through an operation after being married to a man, after having bearing children, three or four children. After 30 years, she went through some operation and proudly goes around giving lectures about it. Sadly, it is shameful. All right, there is the psychological aspect, and people say, but that's how I felt, and I didn't feel right inside my own body, and I was in a crisis over it. And they say 41% of transgenders sometimes feel depressed and even suicidal. But to this, the top psychologist in the queue says they should be going through psychological treatment. Hear that, psychologist? You better brief yourself. So, Brian Grossnuss, who was on the London based in some years back, writes in his Leif Aryeh Chelek Beis Siman Mentes on the question, Vadai Zochor Usricho Get Min HaTorah. He asks the question about get. If a man goes through an operation to become a woman and he's married to a woman, does he have to give his wife a get? Because you could argue she's not married to a man anymore. If she's not married to a man anymore, then do you need a get? And there are some who bring down the Trumas HaDeshen on an interesting question. If Eliyahu HaNavi did not die, Eliyahu HaNavi went up to Shammai. So does his wife need a get? Did he die or didn't he die? Eliyahu HaNavi went up alive. His wife remains alive. Can she go and marry another man? She can say, well, I haven't got a husband anymore. The Mishnah says, how can a woman remarry? Either by a get or by the death of a husband. She says, well, I didn't get a get and my husband didn't die. And
how do you know she didn't get a get?
It's a theoretical question.
She's aguna.
It's a theoretical question.
She's aguna.
No, the Truma Sadeshah finds it justified to ask this question. And
I didn't know her wife.
Exactly.
She's a
Magunat. She's a Magunat. Well, yeah, but you can't chase the husband. Where are you going to find Eliyahu HaNavi to give her a get?
Send someone to Shemayim.
Someone to Shemayim. Okay, what do you think his psak is? Can she remarry or can't she? Hands up those who think.
I think he went to Shemayim. That's like dying.
That is
dying.
Oh, we're getting somewhere. It's like dying. Says the Trumos Hadeshen, Eliyahu HaNavi has a din of a maloch and not as a person. And therefore, she's allowed to remarry. So that's similar to what you've said. He didn't really die, but he's a maloch. He reappears nowadays. He comes to every bris. And in fact, the malach, the moiler, every bris refers to him as Eliyahu Malach HaBris. He is a malach.
Yeah, but you can't see him.
So, you can't see him. A man goes into hiding, you can't see him.
But if he was a malach, how do we know he had a wife?
He's dead.
How do you know he had a wife?
Well, he asks the Shiloh, which assumes he had a wife. And he doesn't just quote Eliyahu HaNavi, he quotes Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. There was something about him not dying. We regard these people as having died. That's the psak. I hope I didn't offend anybody that people are walking out. Oh, I see. I thought I may have offended someone.
No,
says Dan Grosnas in his Lev Arye. His brother used to be a long time a member of this shul, Mr. Grosnas.
Yes.
Baron Grosnas wrote, even with hormone treatment, it doesn't change the sex. There's still facial hair on a man, even if he claims to be a woman. Bavadai zochu ve'eino ishoklal. Vafilo he androgynous, gamkein ishtet sricho get misofek. So even if that person is an androgynous, that person possesses both male and female features, a get has to be given misofek. There's an interesting article in the Tachumin of Rav Yigal Shpern who discusses the subject that this is not simply cosmetics of plastic surgery. Going through such surgery is awesome in HaTorah, and he quotes the various problems which can result, such as sitting in shul. He asks, what if surgery was done before a conversion, before a gerus? So a person who is not Jewish goes through an operation, claims he is a different sex, namely that he's a she, and then converts to Yiddishkeit. How do we treat that person? Because we say ger, a ger is kakoton shenel adomi, as though a person's just been born. Or what about if surgery took place on a minor, on a child, before that person becomes bas mitzvah or bar mitzvah? These are questions which are not really yet conclusive in their answers, but the general rule of thumb is once a male, always a male, once a female, always a female, and any surgery you do is artificial. It doesn't change the facts on the ground. The idea is that Gerim says Sefer Dor Tafuchas Rav Idan Bar Ephraim, he says the Gerim were at Har Sinai, so they were originally there before. When a person becomes a Ger Tzedek, many say that that person already received a Jewish neshama at the time of birth, retrospectively, before the conversion took place. The Maharsho discusses the subject. Rav Chaim Palagi, who wrote the Sefer Yosef Esekhov, he died in 1869, he asked this question of Shelo Asami Yisho. He is the one who says maybe a woman should say Shofchani Leish, who has turned me into a man. But Rabbi Bleich says that this Rav Palagi is not a well-known source. We don't really know who this fellow was. He's not widely quoted, and we are suspect as to his credentials. And it is not befitting for a person to say Shofchani Leish. If a person feels uncomfortable saying Shalom Sani Isha, or a person wants to say Shosani in the cave, a person might say Shosani Kirtsono, because a person might say what a woman says, who has made me according to his will. But if a person goes through a sex change operation, you're not going through the Rotson of Hashem. Is it Shosani Kirtsono? It's not. It's you've done Shosani Kirtsono Chod or Kirtsoni, which isn't the same thing. So a person, therefore, should just carry on saying the bracha he's always said. I mean, if a person goes to a change, an alleged change from a man to a woman, one can still say Shalom Sani Yeshua because that's where he was born. The Sefer HaMorah brings down a Rav Teitelbaum who says, it's very natural for us to treat these people as outcasts, and that could be a very grave mistake. A similar thing is written in the Shalat Shuvas for Shavu Rapeh. He says, Sarichin l'karev kol ma she'efshar. He says, there are people going around who are misguided. It's true they have emotions which might need treatment, but the natural feeling of us in the Orthodox world is to try and exclude them. And what are these people going to do? If they come from Orthodox background, they'll just go and join the Reform and the Conservative. They'll run away because they will feel rejected. He says that is not the way to behave with such people. We have to show them love. We have to show them that we feel for them, they're part of us, and that they've been going through a trial, they've been going through a challenge, and we all have our challenges in life in one way or another, and these people have theirs. And he quotes Rav Yaakov Emden, who was already quite a long time ago, who discusses a question like this in his Chelek Aleph of the Shelas Yavatz, Simon Kuf Ayin Aleph, and he there talks about somebody who's gone through a surgery. This is amazing because Rav Yaakov Emden was early 19th century. He says that it is something which is so repulsive to us that people who go through such change operations, we should name and shame them. And he refers to somebody called Yosef Ben Kalman Me'altuna, who claimed to be a woman even though he was really a man, and people should be knowing that this is a fact, and it should discourage other people from going through such a thing, and therefore we should name and shame them just like we name and shame the agunas, the men who refuse to give a get. However, the thrust of approach, which is from the Shutz, the Shavu Rapeh, is that this is not the best approach because we will be simply driving them away. We have to welcome them with open arms, talk to them, make them feel part of us as a family, and try and give them the psychological help which they might need in order that they don't have these depressed, suicidal feelings. So that in a nutshell is the question of, do we say Shalom Sani Ish or Shalom Sani Isha? There's no question about Shalom Sani Oved, but the agenda which is being fiercely put forward nowadays by those who claim that we should be allowing people changing regardless is something which is against the Torah and something which is completely wrong, but we should show love, care and understanding to all those who are going through a period of suffering and depression that they are given our help. Thanks so much. I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to do it.